in the time of Nachum Ish Gamzu Kindalach, the Roman king made some kind of a gzeda, some kind of a law against the Yidden. And the Yidden, of course, were very upset and very sad. So there's two things to do when something like this happens. Number one, you have to daven to Hashem, and you have to say tehillim and give tzedakah and do tshuva. And number two, you have to do something to try to go to the king, that maybe you can speak to him, or maybe you can do something that will make him feel better towards you, that he should get rid of the gzeda. In other words, go in a regular way, and also go first to Hashem, and do whatever you can in Ruchnius, and then go in a regular way to the king. You have to do both things. But what is the main thing, to go to the king? No, the main thing is go to Hashem, because he's in charge of the king also. Now, the Yidden made a meeting, and they decided, how do you make the king feel better? First you have to give him a present, right? First you have to give him a nice gift, because if you go empty-handed, he's not going to listen to you. After all, he made a gzeir against the Yidden. What's going to change his mind? So the Yidden said, let's give him a beautiful gift. Such a beautiful, expensive gift. And that will make the king happy. Then maybe he'll listen. And who will they send to speak to the king? They chose Nochum Ish Gamzu. He should be the shliach for the Yidden. Nochum Ish Gamzu went on the way to Rome. And on the way to Rome, it's a far, far away. It's a far, far trip. A very long trip. So he had to stay overnight in different hotels, in different places by the side of the road. And as he's going, he's schlepping this box that they gave him, because what was the gift? They decided the gift should be a box full of silver and gold and jewels and diamonds and expensive things. And this is what they're going to give to the king in this box. So Nochum Ish Gamzu started on the way, and he was schlepping with him this big, heavy box full of gold, silver, and jewels. Maybe he had it on a little wagon or something, and he's going. He stops into a hotel, and he checks into a room, and the hotel man helped him with his things, and he says, oh, I see you have a very heavy box there. Yes, it's a very, very heavy box. Where are you going with that heavy box? Well, I'm traveling to Rome. I have to see the king. Oh, you're going to Rome. And you're going to see the king. And you're taking a heavy box. Now, this hotel owner wasn't exactly an honest person. In fact, as you're going to see, he was the opposite. And he thinks to himself, this old rabbi over here is traveling to Rome with a heavy box to see the king. Why do you go with a heavy box to see the king? Must be in the box is a good, good thing for the king, a present, probably something very expensive, probably gold and silver and jewels. That's good. And so kiddies, in the middle of the night, while Nochum Ish Gamzu was asleep, this hotel owner sneaked into the room, tippy-toe, and he went over to the box, and somehow, very quietly, he schlepped it out of the room into another room. And over there, he somehow opened up that box. And he found, yes, silver, gold, and jewels. Was he excited. And he stole it. He took it all for himself. And he put it away in a hiding place. And now the box is empty. It's very light. He says, if I put it back into the room, and the next morning, the old rabbi wakes up in the morning and he takes the box and feels it's very light, he's going to find out right away that I took the box. I mean, he's going to find out right away that somebody stole his things. And the police might come and they might catch me. I don't want anybody to catch me. I don't want him to find out. I have to make it feel like nothing is missing. So what will I do? He went out into the backyard and he dug up a whole bunch of dirt from the backyard and he put it in the box so it was heavy again, and he now put the box back under the bed and he left the room. And Nachum Ishkamzu woke up in the morning, and he continues on his way with the box. He goes all the way to Rome, Kinelach. And finally he goes to see the king. And finally they let him in front of the king. And he says to the king of Rome, I have come from Eretz Yisrael with a request, with something to ask the king for the Jewish people. Please, king, you made a gzeira against us. And we ask the king to please accept our gift that we give him, and please think over, maybe you will not do what you said, this very terrible thing, but you'll be nice to us. And we collected a very special present for the king. The king says, what is it? Let me see. Bring it here. And the officers brought the big heavy box for the king. Oh, it's a heavy box, king. It must be full of something very good. Oh, yes, it must be silver, gold, and jewels. What else do you give a king? Open it up, let me see, and then I'll think it over. They opened up the box, Kinelach, and inside was dirt. And the king looks, dirt? Dirt for the king? What is this, a joke? The Jews are making fun of the king? They're giving me dirt? Oh, this is even more terrible than before. Before I was upset about certain things, and that's why I made the gzeira. Now I'm triple upset, much more upset. Ooh, what kind of a gzeira will I think up now? Throw this rabbi in the dungeon under the palace. And I'm so upset, I'm going to think of more gzeiras against the Jews. Akinelach, as soon as Nachum Ishkamzu saw that dirt, now, you might think that he got upset. Oy vey, it's terrible. There's dirt in the box. Where's the silver, gold, and jewels? And you might think, oh, it's terrible. And, you know, what happened over here? And the king is so upset. And the king is so upset. You know what Nachum Ishkamzu said as soon as he saw the dirt? He said, Gamzu l'taiva. He said, look, there's dirt in the box. Did I put the dirt in there? No. Something happened. It wasn't up to me. There's dirt. He said like this. In the same way that the silver, gold, and jewels were in the box, and that would have been good, so now there's dirt in the box, that's also going to be good. He didn't even get upset. Now, according to some versions of the story, it happened a little bit different, that even in the hotel, listen closely. Remember in the hotel when he left the next morning? So he opened up the box in the hotel. I mean, it could be this way, it could be that way. The main thing you should know, both ways teach us the same thing. Before he left the hotel, he just wanted to check in the morning to see the silver and gold and jewels. And he opened up the box in the hotel, and you know what he noticed? There's dirt. And it was time to leave. He had to be in Rome at a certain time. He couldn't just stay around. He had to go. And even there he said, look, the jewels and silver and gold are gone. And now there's dirt. Now a regular person would say, oh, terrible, the world is coming to an end. Look at the most horrible thing, it's been stolen. Nachum Ishkamzu says, look, Gamzu l'taiva, this is also good. Just like I would have gone to Rome with the jewels, so I'll go with dirt, it'll also be good. And whichever way it is, he gave the king the dirt, he got thrown into the jail, the king is upset. Akinelach, just at that moment, Hashem, who's watching over everything and who's in charge of everything that happens and knows exactly what's happening, he sent Eliyahu Navi down into the palace, and he made him to look like an officer of the king. And all of a sudden, this officer spoke up and he said, king, wait a minute. Why are you so upset? Maybe you should be happy. The king says, happy? With a box of dirt? Are you kidding? I'm upset. This is a chutzpah. Why should I be happy with a box of dirt? What king would be happy with a box of dirt for a gift? And the officer says, king, this old rabbi came all the way from the land of Eretz Yisrael, a very far trip, and he's coming to ask you to be nice to the Jews, and he gives you a gift. Now, do you think that these Jews, you know, they're smart people, they're learning in the morning and the night, and even the whole day, and they're always speaking smart things? Now, these Jews, do you think that they would do such a ridiculous thing to give you a box of dirt? The king says, well, isn't that what they did? Yes, that's what they did. But it means that this could not be regular dirt. Because who would give the king regular dirt? And no, the king would be upset. They wouldn't figure out themselves. The king would be upset from regular dirt. And the king says to the officer, and what are you saying? I mean, hey, isn't this regular dirt? I mean, what kind of dirt is there? There's regular dirt. What else is there besides regular dirt? And the officer says, there is special dirt. And the king says, well, what special dirt? I never heard of special dirt. And the officer says, king, I happen to know it says in the Jewish Torah a story about special dirt. And the king says, oh, tell me the story. I like a story. Tell me. I want to know about it. And the officer says the story from Avraham Avinu. In Parshas Lech Lecha, do you remember when Avraham Avinu was running after the four kings, after they made the fight with the five kings, and they kidnapped Lot and his family? And Avraham found out that his nephew Lot was kidnapped. And now Avraham Avinu runs after Lot. Now, who did he take for his army? The 318 kids from the yeshiva. And Eliezer. And according to some opinions, it was only Eliezer. Because his name, Eliezer, adds up to 318. Whichever way it was, we know that there was a little army against the biggest armies of the world, the four kings, right? And when the kids, the little army, came up to the four kings with their armies, the four kings laughed. What a joke. A group of kids are going to fight us thousands and thousands of strong soldiers with all of our arrows and with all of our spears. And what did they do? So the four kings said to their soldiers, shoot one arrow up into the air and it's going to come down on the kids and we'll just watch them get poked with the arrows and finished. Each soldier shot an arrow in the air. Thousands of arrows were flying. It looked like a black cloud of arrows coming down. And, of course, the kids were scared. And Avram said, we're going to say Shema Yisrael. Don't be afraid. They said Shema Yisrael. And when the arrows fell down, it turned into what? Just dust. Just little pieces of dirt. And, of course, they rubbed their eyes. They couldn't believe it. What's happening over here? How could it happen? Then they each shot a spear. They threw a spear, a long stick with a sharp end, into the air. Each one, and a big, gigantic cloud of spears was coming down. And Avram says, don't worry, there's Hashem in the world. We're going for Hashem to do a mitzvah. Don't worry about it. The spears, what happened to them? Each one turned into a little piece of straw, like a little grass, a little dry grass. And then the kids came close to the four kings and their armies. And Avram said, each one of you take a handful of the dirt with the little pieces of dry grass. And on the count of three, you're just going to throw it on the soldiers. And of course, the soldiers are laughing. Hey, kiddies, he's going to throw dirt on us with straw. Funny. What happened was, on the count of three, ein svei drei, each kid threw a handful of dirt with the straw. And each little piece of dirt turned back into an arrow. And each piece of straw turned back into a spear, and each handful killed hundreds of soldiers until they wiped out the army completely. And the officer says to the king of Rome, this happened long, long ago, that a small army took special dirt, and they won with miracles against big, powerful armies. It must be the Jews are giving you the same kind of a dirt. Oh, the king says, in such a case, that would be even a more special present than silver, gold, and jewels, wouldn't it? All we have to do is test it out to see, is it regular dirt or special dirt? So they took out the dirt into the field where there were some soldiers, and the soldiers took handfuls of dirt, and they threw it in the air, and sure enough, you know what happened? Exactly the same thing that happened in the time of Avraham Avinu. They saw it was miracle dirt. And the king sent out the dirt to his armies, and they were fighting a war at the time, and the war was schlepping on, and they weren't winning it. And in the same day, they won the war. And the king was so happy. And he let Nochem Ish Gamzu out of the jail. And of course, he sent him home with presents and gifts, and he got rid of the gzeda, and of course, it was a big, big simcha for the Yidden. This story happened next to the ocean, the big ocean. A man was walking near the ocean, and he sees a little boy standing by the side of the ocean, waving a flag. And the man thought, that's strange. This little boy is standing next to the ocean, looking out on the ocean, and he's waving a flag. Well, just must be a little kid playing, you know. I mean, after all, a little kid can stand near the ocean waving a flag. It wasn't like it was a dangerous part where Chas v'Shalom he could fall in, where there's any danger or anything. It's just, you know, he's standing near the ocean waving a flag, looking out on the ocean. And the man went by, didn't think too much about it. But the next day, the man also passed by this place, and again he sees the little boy standing next to the ocean waving the flag. 2 days in a row he's just standing there. I mean, he was there yesterday, he's there today. Well, maybe he's just playing twice by the ocean. Well, waving a flag, why not? I mean, a little kid could play like that. But the next day the man was walking again near the ocean, and he sees the little boy standing by the ocean, looking out on the ocean, waving the flag. Well, this man became very curious. Yes, Curious George, we have to say that. What in the world is this boy doing each day, standing next to the ocean, waving his flag, looking out on the ocean? So the man decided that he will go and ask the little boy, what's going on? Why are you standing each day by the ocean? And what are you waiting for? And what are you looking at? And why are you waving that flag? And he goes to the little boy and he says, little boy, for 3 days, I've seen that you're standing here next to the ocean. What's going on? And the little boy says, I'm waiting for the ship to arrive. The ship, it's going to come, and I'm waiting for it. And I'm waving my flag because I'm greeting the ship. You know, what do people do when a ship comes in? They wave a flag. And the man looks out on the ocean. He says, I don't see any ship. I don't see any boat. I only see the ocean. How do you know it's going to come here? My tati told me. My daddy said the ship is going to come here. So I'm waiting for it. Well, when did your tati say it's going to come? He says, my tati said it's going to come any time. So I'm waiting here for the ship. And the man said, well, why don't you go home? No, my tati said the ship is coming here. I want to be here when it comes. So I'm waiting. Well, Kinalach, the man left. And sure enough, the next day the boy was there. And the next day. And the boy was so patient, just waiting for that ship. And the man thought by this time, something must be wrong with this little boy. Each day he waits so long by the ocean and there's nothing there. Oh, he felt sorry for the little boy. Maybe your tati told you something that's not really going to happen because you see each day you're there and there's no ship. Finally, Kinalach, one day, as the man is passing by and he sees the little boy there again waiting, and by this time he's almost even laughing, because he thinks it's some kind of a big joke or something. And of course, he even feels bad that this little boy has some wild idea in his head that there's some kind of a ship coming over here, and his father told him. One day, all of a sudden, he sees a little tiny little thing way out in the ocean. Very small, but it was something there. And he saw it's coming closer and closer, and sure enough, it is a ship, a big boat. And the little boy was waving his flag. He was so excited. The ship is coming. The ship is coming. Sure enough, Kenilach, a big, huge, beautiful, gigantic ship came exactly to that place. And the boy was waving his flag, jumping down, up and down, so excited. And the ship blows its horn. And people are cheering and they're waving their flags. And the little boy's waving his flag. And the man was so curious now. He's curious. He goes and asks the little boy, "How did you know that this ship is going to come over here? You're right. How did you know?" He says, "Because my tati told me." "Yeah, but you told me that already. But how does your tati know?" "You know how my tati knows? He's the captain of the ship. You see right up there where the captain is? That's my tati. He's driving the ship. He's the captain of the ship. And he told me that he's coming here, so I know he's coming." And sure enough, up on top over there where the captain is standing, Kenilach, there was a captain in a beautiful uniform. And he was waving to his little boy, smiling. And the little boy was so proud of his tati, and he was waving his flag. Oh, he's so excited. Kenilach, this is a story not just about a little boy with a flag and a tati in an ocean. This is a story about Mashiach. This is the story of Mashiach and the little boy. Shh. Kenilach, who is the little boy? You are the little boy, and I am the little boy. We're all the little boy, and we're waiting. Shh. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for Mashiach to come. And we're standing. Okay. I see that we cannot continue this story. Shh. We cannot continue this story today. So I guess we'll have to finish tomorrow because it has to be quiet. The main part of the story is yet to come. We didn't yet get to the main part of the story. Do we just tell stories here or it's Torah stories? Rabbi Zaltzman says it's Torah stories. We have to learn something from the story about Torah and mitzvahs. It's not just a story. Oh, what a nice story we heard while we're eating our noodles. No, we have to learn something from the story. We are all waiting, Kenilach, with our flag up. We're doing all we can that Mashiach should come. We're excited. We're waiting each day. And people look at us and say, "We don't see anything. What are you standing there? Just waiting there. Where is Mashiach already?" And we are very patient, Kenilach, waving our flag, doing everything we can each day that Mashiach should come, that we should be ready for him. We want to be ready, and the way to get ready is to learn Torah and do mitzvahs and Av Yisrael as much as we can, that we should be ready when Mashiach comes. Now, people look at us and they think sometimes, you know, this is ridiculous already. You're waiting and you're waiting and there's nothing there. HaKenelach, we know. We know that Mashiach is coming. We know that Mashiach is going to be here soon with all the good things. It's just a matter of exactly when all the big things are going to happen, that we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael and have the new Beis HaMikdash, and all the Yidden should be there keeping Torah mitzvahs in the best, most beautiful possible way. All of these things are going to happen soon. exactly when, is if it's going to be the next second or 2 seconds, we're not exactly sure, but we're waiting and we're excited and we're patient. And how do we know? How do we know? Just like, how did the boy know that the ship is coming? His tati is the captain. Kind of luck, the Jewish people have a captain. We're not by ourselves. We have somebody who takes care of us, and he's the leader and he's the captain. And he told us that Mashiach is coming. First of all, the big, big captain is Hashem, and Hashem says in the Torah that Mashiach is coming. This is one of the 13 things that every Jew believes, and it's a part of the Torah, just like Bereishis Bara Elokim, that Mashiach is going to come, and every single day we wait for Mashiach to come. This is a promise. And then Kenelach, in every generation, there's a leader of the Yidden, who's like the Moshe Rabbeinu of the Yidden, and he says that Mashiach is coming any second now. And this captain is not only the captain of the ship, he is mamish like our tati. We are the little boy, and he is exactly like our tati. He's our Rebbe, and he's our tati. And he told us. He told us, Kenelach. He promised us. He said clearly that Mashiach is coming. So we have no doubt. We have no doubts at all that anything else is going to be, only that Mashiach is coming, and we're waiting with our flag, and we're happy, we're patient. And Kenelach, of course, just like the ship came, Mashiach is going to come with all the good promises that the Torah says, and we'll be there to greet Mashiach with our flag up happily. And even though a person could make fun of us and say, what are you making such a big tumult, and why are you waiting so long, and why are you just waiting there and waiting there, and what are you doing saying that you're waiting, I don't see a thing, Kenelach, we know that the captain is not only the captain, he's our tati, and he promised us and he told us that Mashiach is coming, so we know for sure, we have no doubt. And of course there's going to come a time where Mashiach will come, and we're going to be with Mashiach, and we're going to be there waiting for him the first, and he's going to have nachas from us, and we're going to be happy that we did what we did, because we knew all along that this is exactly what was going to be. There was once a tzaddik, and his mother was mashugah. His mother was nuts. What did she do? In the middle of the shir, he used to give a shir in the shul. A lot of people came to the shir. She would come up in the middle of the shir. She would start screaming at him and yelling at him. And sometimes she spit in his face. And sometimes she took off her shoe and knocked him on the head. Not because he deserved it, because she was a little bit not beseder in the head. The tzaddik's mother. And he never got angry at her. He never embarrassed her. He never said anything. He never said a not nice word to her. He just sat there and let her do it and waited till she finished. And when she left, he went on giving the shir. Now this is the mitzvah of kibud av ve'em. Even your parents do something you don't like. You don't talk to them in a not nice way. You don't get upset at them. Of course, this is a big mitzvah that he's doing. But it's very important that you don't say to your parents words, not only if they don't deserve it, even if they do deserve it.
this mother did things that were not nice to her son. And any person would get upset, maybe say something. Why are you spitting on my face in shul while I'm teaching Torah to my Talmidim? But he never said a thing.